Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
What happens when you lock 18 coworkers in an office for 1 week to compete for $250,000 of cash? This is Surviving Barstool Season 5, presented by Rumble Premium. Each episode released 3 hours early, so get it ad-free before anyone else, only when you join Rumble Premium. Surviving Barstool premieres Sunday, August 9th at 5 p.m. on Rumble Premium, and everywhere else at 8 p.m.
To infinity and beyond!
The Lord tells me he can get me out of this mess, but he's pretty sure you're fucked.
That is why you fail.
You can't handle the truth!
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself.
Say hello to my little friend!
You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
Say what again? Say what again? I dare you! I double dare you, motherfucker! Say what one more goddamn time!
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
Geek and our son!
Happy birthday, Polly.
Welcome to Lights, Camera, Barstool, episode 21, live here from Atlanta, Georgia, and Super Bowl 53 at the Atlanta Hawks Sports Bar and Grill in the Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport in Atlanta. Thanks, folks. Wow. Thanks, everybody.
Wow, what a crowd. What a crowd.
Yeah, thanks for coming out, everybody. We really appreciate you making the trek out to the airport for us, because we came all the way to the Atlanta for you.
It's pretty crazy how this many fans were able to get through security to attend a live podcast taping.
Yeah, great space, too. I'm really glad they could set us up here. We were supposed to be at the Ivy and Buckhead with the rest of Barstool, but I don't know. The transportation hasn't shown up yet, so we're doing it from here.
Yeah, live from the airport. Hey, what's your guys' favorite Hartsfield-Jackson memory? Mine's walking.
Yeah, I like the shuttle. The subway train type thing they have.
Yeah, great airport. Love
I like
it.
The Cinnabon in Terminal C. That's my personal favorite memory so far.
Yeah.
Can't beat that.
A blast. Also, thanks. Big shout out. We have a live performance at the end of the show by Super Bowl 53 halftime performer Adam Levine. Adam, thanks for joining us.
Well, I've put back like an unbelievable amount of food. So I like basically like bursting at the seams, like I'm gonna shit my pants.
That's great. What a guy.
Did you know that before he joined Maroon 5, they were Maroon 4?
Didn't know that.
Wow. The audience loves it. The crowd behind us is going crazy at that joke.
Yeah, this is strange being here in person together in the same spot in Atlanta where the Super Bowl will be played in 1 week.
Ooh, cool. I can't wait. Personally, I can't wait to go to the game, the big game that we have tickets to.
You guys collect pogs? This is what reminds me of right now that we're doing. That's another gag that we did once.
All right, so we're gonna be reviewing the Flintstones this week. Okay, well, anything else going on here besides the fact that we are in Atlanta at the Super Bowl? Anything of note that might be of more importance?
Not for me, man. I haven't done anything this weekend.
I've been trying to drink grapefruit juice. I have some with me right here. You can't really see it without me spilling it. But I've been trying to get back into the grapefruit juice game, and I still, every time I drink it, I just don't like it. Like, I want to like it so bad. It's just too tart.
I mean, grapefruit juice is a thing, right? People, you can buy that at a store.
Yeah. I didn't fucking make the grapefruit.
Well, I thought you fresh squeezed some grapefruit juice.
No, this is like whatever Tropicana brand grapefruit juice. Mm. But it's so damn tart. But I want to like it so bad because I like grapefruit flavored things. Just the standard juice is just so tart.
Are you going to start eating prunes next?
Dude, prunes taste great. Let's not knock prunes.
I like prunes, but I don't associate grapefruit juice or prunes with anybody under the age of 60.
Exactly. That's why I was like, it's one of those things I think I just need to get older to enjoy correctly because I'm not there yet with grapefruits.
My mom had special grapefruit spoons in the house.
Yeah, the little serrated one.
With the ridges, yeah. That's something I do not have as an adult. I'm going to be honest, eating grapefruit does not come up a lot in my life.
What time do you turn grapefruit age? What is the age of grapefruits?
I don't know. Do people, you get a grapefruit at, where do you even get a grapefruit? I mean, some restaurants you get a grapefruit.
Only Florida.
Yeah, but you can get grapefruits at breakfast in some restaurants. They'll have grapefruit on the menu, and they always come out with that sliced grape. on the top of the grapefruit, like a little beanie on a baseball hat. You know what I'm talking
about? Yeah, that's right.
Do people do that at home?
No, you can't, right? It's all about the presentation.
Yeah, that's a lot of effort to go through to put that on there. I like grapefruit. Yeah. I like to salt the grapefruit before I eat it.
What? That's a thing?
Do you salt your watermelon?
No.
Oh, you need to salt your watermelon. It's so good.
I've never heard of that before.
I mean, if you put sugar on your grapefruit.
No, salt the grapefruit.
Really?
Those are two wildly different things to do to your food.
I like salting watermelon. I like salting apples. I like salting grapefruit.
Salting apples?
Yeah, I like to salt an apple. All right.
I'm moving on from this.
This is getting Googled to make sure that I don't make fun of him.
Yeah, I feel like you're making this up to make this fall for something.
There's an article that says 12 weird fruits you should be salting.
Oh, true.
Oh, 12 weird fruits? I wouldn't say watermelon's a weird fruit.
Salt does bring flavor out of every food it's in. That's why my man Gordon Ramsay yells at everybody for not salting enough of their food.
What's up, guys? It's me, Trill Ballins, here to salt my watermelon. It needs extra sodium.
This just reminds me of the Aziz bit where it's probably all made up, but like when he says he was in the restaurant with 50 Cent, when 50 Cent found out what a grapefruit was, because he thought it was going to be like a grape when he got it, but it ended up being like, he's like, this looks like an orange of some sort.
Yeah, that's a funny joke that a stand-up comedian told once.
It was a funny bit in his context and delivery, which is a very something else I don't think has as much.
All right, anything else besides a great Steve Martin impression of Roger Stone last night on SNL? That was awesome. Anything else happening?
SNL is so funny, dude. The way they just take the events that happened in the week and just have someone say them back. Is literally all they're doing.
Okay. I think that's it. I think
we're ready for news. I think we're ready for news.
All right, let's get into some news. Let's do some of the news stuff.
Let's do that. Let's do it.
Ted Bundy. Ted Bundy movie
not
trailer.
A fan.
Yet.
Not a big,
not a good
not
guy.
Not a Ted Bundy guy.
No, very out on Ted Bundy. He has a Netflix documentary series. Is that correct? The Ted Bundy tapes. Is that where they were released? Mm-hmm. Apparently not good. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the movie that involves him. Actually, we did talk about this with Haley Joel Osment because he's in this movie. It's with Zac Efron. It's called Extremely Wicked, Shockingly Evil and Vile. It's the story of Ted Bundy. I don't know technically who the most famous serial killer of all time is, but I would say he's probably top five. It's about his life. It premiered at Sundance, too. For the most part, pretty good reviews. The trailer came out, though, that goes really in-depth of this movie, and I don't know how to feel about it. I think it looks fine, but also, I don't know. I guess I haven't really found out my feelings on this movie and how comfortable I feel with this thing.
It's a tightrope you have to walk between potentially glorifying a serial killer and making a movie that's surreal in his portrayal, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. It's not really a tightrope. It's just unnecessary, right?
Well, I don't know. I mean, part of the Ted Bundy lore is that he was a very attractive guy. And he used that to lure women to, you know, murder them. And so I get like Zac Efron playing Ted Bundy in this, because he is also a very attractive guy. But the trailer is very stylized. It was very fast moving. It was, I don't know. It reminded me of, I don't know, something like, what was the movie where American Made?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Just where there's a lot of cuts and, you know, music and whatever. Like, not like the movie remind me, but just like the way that trailer, like, kind of felt. So I'm going to reserve judgment for the movie. At Ted Bundy story as a whole, like, I'm not all that interested in it. I tend to stay out of the murder porn subgenre of entertainment these days, which powers 80% of the podcast community.
So something to note, though, I do agree with you that it is important that they show him being conventionally attractive, although they do have a scene where he's shirtless. You just couldn't build a V-taper like that in the 70s. It wasn't possible. The equipment wasn't around. Like, you couldn't get abs like that. There's nothing that you could train obliques with. That's way too stylized. You got
no hammer strength.
Exactly. No hammer strength wasn't around. They didn't even have CrossFit yet. Like, they need to chub him up a little bit so it's more accurate.
The Ted Bundy story, if you don't know it, it's fucking brutal. The story of Ted Bundy and his killings are like stomach turning disgusting. Especially when you go into like details, and I haven't watched the tapes. I don't know how like detailed they go into it, but it is like on another level. Like mob killings, yes, they're murders, very bad. But the Ted Bundy stuff, like it's bad on the surface level and then gets worse and worse the more you read about it. So I don't know. There's just a level of, again, I'm not sure how I feel about this yet. Maybe it's like a well-made movie. You know, it works in that respect, which we talk about all the time. Like something can be well-made and still kind of feel gross and not okay. I guess we'll see.
Well, okay, so there's an article in Cosmopolitan magazine that was published today, and the title is, I saw Zac Efron's Ted Bundy movie. It's not what you think. Extremely wicked, shockingly evil and vile. It's not what the trailer sold you. It does seem like, you know, again, we got to be careful with trailers. The trailer did feel that way, but the movie, I just, you always want to be careful when you're, I don't know if this is a concern of the Once Upon a Time in Hollywood too, where you're just glorifying mass murder because enough time has passed since.
Yeah, which we will get into in a minute because they did release photos there. But even that, I wonder if they made a change of course on that one because that story is not totally about the murders where it was originally supposed to be, or at least that's how it was pitched.
Right.
And then Tarantino and company came out and said, no, it's just like, that's part of the element. But this one, it's Ted Bundy. So that's an interesting article. I should probably read that.
When are we going to get the serial killer biopic on Little Terrio?
No.
Who killed him more than him?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to sound like a prude, but I mean, it's one thing if you want to make a movie about Jack the Ripper, because
they have.
I know it was 200 years have passed, but it's been 30 years since Ted Bundy was executed. And there are people who are still living who had their direct relatives, you know, murdered by him. So
yeah, imagine that, like you had a direct relative that was killed and eaten by Jeffrey Dahmer. And then they're like, yeah, we're casting Zac Efron as him. And it's going to be like a funny do good comedy, or not comedy, but like a very aesthetically pleasing thing. Like, no, this guy's kind of a fucking monster. So maybe this isn't the right way to do it.
I don't know. It's tough. Look, I think it's interesting. I think it's interesting that Cosmo article is saying that, you know, at least agreed with what I thought about the trailer, which made me feel good. But the article also said the movie wasn't that good either. So I'm excited to see the movie because the Cosmo article makes it sound like a little more nuanced than the trailer presented itself to be, which you always have to be whenever you're doing a movie of this subject matter.
They did make a Jeffrey Dahmer movie 2 years ago, actually. It's actually apparently not bad. I did not see it. It was played by a boy band member's kid, Ross Lynch, at 20-something, like from a Disney boy band. So
really,
they're just casting attractive looking Disney like folk as serial mass murderers. But no, I don't think saying it's weird or kind of off putting is being prudent. I mean, there's just something different with the Ted Bundy thing. It's very, again, if you don't know the details of the Ted Bundy story, it's fucking repulsive and horrifying. And I think it puts it on another level where you're like, a little uncomfortable with this one. So that's interesting. We'll have to see. The trailer definitely painted a picture. So if in fact that's not what the movie shows, that will be rather interesting.
We done with murder talk?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
All right, from Ted Bundy movie to 21 Jump Street. The third 21 Jump Street movie is apparently in the pipeline, but it sounds like Lauren Miller skipping over to 24 Jump Street, saying they're reserving 23. I don't know what that means.
It's so confusing. This article, the Screen Rant article, is the most confusing thing I've ever read.
It is, but it sounds like they're going to make another one, and that's great. That's all that needs to be said. That's fantastic.
But they're skipping over because they want to reserve 23 Jump Street for something.
Yeah.
That's what they said there. So is it going to be a Channing Tatum, Jonah Hill one? What are we doing?
You need to go back in time? I don't know. It'd be kind of funny. I would like that. This point, they got to keep making it crazier and crazier. And they became very self-aware in the last movie. So they have opened the gate to do that.
Well, will John Cena be part of this one? I feel like he's going to work his way into this franchise.
I don't want to say I hate that yet because he was so funny in Blockers, but he was so bad in Bumblebee.
So bad. So,
giveth
so
and taketh. Giveth and taketh this year with John Cena. Like, big time.
Weren't they saying Awkwafina? Who is it? Awkwafina and someone else?
Oh yeah, no. It was Tiffany Haddish and Awkwafina, but that was a reboot. This is different. This is the this is still the Jonah Hill and
It's the mainline one. I thought okay. That's even more confusing. This was probably the worst reading experience I've had this year.
The most 21st century movie Hollywood thing to happen would be a movie called 24 Jump Street. That's actually the third in line, even though the third should be 23, being released around the same time as another movie called 21 Jump Street, which is a reboot of a different timeline. That would be the most Hollywood thing to happen right now, if that happens in the next couple of years.
To conclude, I'm very confused by 22, 23, 24 Jump Street.
I'm very confused by that timeline, too, but I'm for them making more movies. I think 22 Jump Street was one of the most successful sequels, period, but also one of probably... out of the last like 10 years, the most successful comedy sequel, I would say, right?
Oh, yeah. Both those are two of the funniest comedies in the last 20 years, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm all for them doing another one as long as they have the correct cast and back end of the team.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's an option that's apparently going to be happening even after the delay and the rumors of the Jump Street Men in Black crossover, which apparently just didn't work. I still don't quite. That was confusing, too. They didn't really give a good explanation why that didn't work, because that one seemed... of all the crazy crossovers and universes, that one seemed actually to be something that people would want and could work.
Hey, guys, where did Adam Levine go?
He's getting ready for the performance,
I guess. I just lost him. He was sitting with us, and now he's no longer here.
They have to do a rehearsal, right?
It really makes you wonder.
He's got to go find a phone book or phone booth.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah, maybe that's what he'll perform. We don't know.
That's such bullshit that he made a song called Phone Booth in 2012 or whatever.
Payphone.
Yeah.
Ooh, now he may not come back. He may not come back after that. I mean, you better get ready to apologize.
Look, I don't even think here in the whatever Delta hub of the Atlanta airport, you could even find a payphone.
Now, you know, he's not here and he's definitely not going to listen to our podcast. So I'm just going to come out and say it. Moves Like Jagger was not a good song.
Ooh. Wasn't a big fan.
Yeah, no, didn't like it either. Good little whistle though at the beginning. The beginning whistle is good and catchy.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't like the song. The whistle was good, or whatever the fuck the noise is. Let's go back to the movie we talked about earlier, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. First images released. Well, there was an image that was released a while ago, and it was Brad Pitt and Leo like standing against a wall.
Yeah, stance the fuck up.
Yeah, they looked did look fucking great. Now there's many different photos. There's Margot Robbie as Sharon Tate. There's one with Al Pacino, Leo, and Brad Pitt. There's one with Leo jumping out of the back of a pickup truck holding a gun. Another one of Margot Robbie. Another one of Leo dancing. There's a bunch of random photos, and it doesn't, again, show you much more from the movie, but it looks cool. I mean, it looks like what I expected to look like. I'm still excited for this movie.
It looks awesome.
Yeah.
I could feel the cigarette smoke in these pictures.
Yes. You can get a good sense from the photos of what you're going to see, what you're going to feel with this movie. Like, you can get the touch that Tarantino is going to have on this one. I'm just ready for a trailer though. You know, we're within what, the 6 month mark. It's a summer movie, right? Like it's time to see some footage.
I love the color palette he used in this because it is so visually appealing to me. Like all the colors he's using in it. I just can't wait for that damn trailer, man. And as long as he nails the vibe, like this 70s vibe in it, it's going to be fucking awesome.
What's your favorite color in the palette?
Got to say yellow for this one, Trill.
I like the blue, personally.
You like the blue? Do you?
Yeah.
That's James Cameron's favorite, too.
I could...
I can't think of that fucking Future Man episode now.
I could see this trailer not dropping till like, May. This is like one of those... Remember, like, Vice, they dropped the trailer like 2 months before the movie came out. I could see Tarantino just not releasing this trailer for months. He's one of the ones that doesn't need to sit here and promote this thing for the next 7 months, but I wish he would release one earlier. I would like to see some footage.
I do like the photo of Leo jumping out of the back of the pickup truck because he's dressed like a sales associate for a trendy menswear store in 2012.
Yeah, the side pockets and everything.
And yeah, side pockets and like I don't know if that's a bomber jacket, but it's a leather jacket of some sort. And he's wearing some creased chinos. Yeah, and about
look at his dick and balls bunched up in the chinos too. Take a peek,
dude. He's definitely hanging dong. Good for him,
a little streak of white hair coming out the sides as well.
My favorite photo is the Hullabaloo one where he's hosting the show dancing. That looks like the time period.
Yeah.
Summer 69. Did you see on Twitter where Bryan Adams just came out directly and said that the summer of 69 isn't about the summer of 69. It's just about the act of 69.
No, I didn't see that actually. I definitely missed that.
Yeah, because I think someone asked him, I'm like, I don't know how old Bryan Adams was, but I think he would have been like 12 in 1969. So it like, doesn't make sense, Bryan Adams.
So yeah, the pictures look pretty cool. I know our audience was very excited about it. People got really mad and we didn't pick it number one in our rankings, which is fair. I mean, I think everyone's excited for that movie for the most part. Who likes good cinema? Should be pretty great. I didn't love Hateful Eight. I will say that. I didn't love it, but I like basically everything Tarantino's done, so I'm very excited for this one. All right, moving on. One more thing than an ad read. A couple movies that have some reviews and ratings up on the old web. Ooh. One of them being The Lego Movie 2.
It's good.
Yeah, apparently it's good. Quick 92% of Rotten Tomatoes, 22 fresh reviews, 2 rotten, with a 7.2 out of 10 score. Let's see. The Lego Movie 2 is lovable. What amounts to a really entertaining feature-length commercial. That's a positive review?
What the fuck is that?
Everyone's got to go, what?
The things we love to skip over before we actually watch our feature-length films.
It seems like the Lego Movie 2 has matured along with the kids who've grown up 5 years since the first movie. So I didn't read these. I just figured this was, wow, I should have sourced these. Expands on the original's premise, adding new worlds and characters to the growing Lego universe, while also crafting a story that is timely, inventive, hilarious, and perfect for all ages. Proves, and this is a negative, proves every bit as repetitive and uninspired as its glib title, bringing little that's fresh or funny to the interlocking brick table, despite boasting a script penned by originators Phil Lord and Chris Miller. So that was mostly negative, but apparently people for the most part like it. Okay, as hilarious as the first one, but also a sophisticated look at gender roles.
Fucking Legos. Jesus. I like the use Legos. Of the word glib in there, because glib to me always sounded like a sex word for glib some reason.
Word. So that's a Lego movie. Cool. We'll talk about these in a second. The next one.
Got glib all over the curtains.
Oh, man. It's like the calcified cum on your sock. It's like, oh man, this thing's covered in glib. Got a urethra infection from all this glib.
I had so much glib in there when I peed, it was two streams.
Oh, the glibbing verb. When your piss divides into two streams due to residual cum.
I always called that snake tonguing.
You always call it that?
Another one. Good segue from that talk. The Kid Who Would Be King. people weren't very happy we were going to be reviewing this movie very soon. It's apparently a fucking delightful movie. Great reviews. 85 fresh and Rotten Tomatoes. Audience score 74%. People love The Kid Who Would Be King. It's got Patrick Stewart in it. How could it be bad? Especially if you ignore the shitty X-Men movies he's in. How could
Rebecca
this be
Ferguson
a bad movie?
Too, right?
What? Oh, yeah, she
from Mission Impossible.
Yeah, Rebecca Ferguson is in it. Yeah. It's a charming notion worked out zestfully by the writer, Joe Cornish, until the charm falls victim to the familiar CGI. Why do I keep reading positive reviews that turn negative at the end? Regardless, for the most part, people appear to like it. So that's cool. And then lastly, a movie that is not getting good reviews with a lot of good actors in it. Jason Clarke, Diane Lane, Anne Hathaway, Matthew McConaughey. That would be Serenity, and it apparently fucking stinks. The critics' consensus on Rotten Tomatoes, a high-concept mystery with a twist. Serenity isn't what it appears to be at first. Unfortunately, it's also not anywhere near as clever or entertaining as it thinks. 22% from the critics, 33% from the audience. Oh, boy. When you got the double negative, the double rotten from audience and critics, you're most likely a pile of shit. Somebody said, Serenity is terrible and insane and will surely end up being one of the worst films of 2019. I am so fucking excited to see this movie because nothing excites me more than a pile of crap movie that comes out in January.
Yeah, we should have heeded McConaughey's warning when he won his Oscar, got up, gave a speech and said, God forgive me. It's time to go back to the old me.
Time to make Mud and Darkest Tower back to back. I like that first trailer too, and that was like months and months and months ago, but it was a cool trailer. And then the delay made me think, damn, this must really fucking stink. And lo and behold, really fucking stinks.
We're coming up on a year when they tried to sell us in that fucking Cloverfield movie.
Oh, man.
Remember they were like, this Cloverfield movie is groundbreaking. Cloverfield tonight after the Super Bowl. Get ready. Everyone's like, yes, the next Cloverfield. That was a fucking terrible movie. Just a pile of shit.
Bad. Is that on movie. Netflix? That was on Netflix,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That was a big deal at the time because that was like the first big, big movie on Netflix, wasn't it?
Yeah. And they had Daniel Brühl.
And the way they released it too was huge.
Yeah. It didn't really have a star, but it was the announcement of it coming and it being tied into J.J. Abrams very loosely.
We're not shitting on Brühl here, right? We're a pro Brühl podcast.
Correct. Look, a star is someone who puts butts in seats, and they might be a very good actor, but Daniel Brühl's not putting butts in seats, my friend.
Did you not see that race car movie with him and Chris Hemsworth? That movie made money.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, yeah. Which one was that? What was that called again?
I'm going to say Race.
Rush. One of my favorite movies the last.
Yeah, that was great.
10 years. I love Rush. Rush is high on my list. From the creative mind of Ron Howard, I believe.
Yeah, take that, Trobones.
I think.
You can't tell me Brühl doesn't put butts in seats.
I think Chris Hemsworth had to slim down because he was his Thor body and he couldn't get in the fucking car. And they're like, you got to lose weight. You're just too jacked.
That's what happens to me when I go to the fair.
Yeah. He was also in Django, right? Or not Django. Inglourious Basterds.
Yes, he was. Yeah.
Yeah. So stop telling me Brühl doesn't have butts and steets, Drew. My German king. He was Civil War.
Have him take over Mission Impossible.
I mean, he would be a good Mission Impossible villain. He was like, it was weird because he's a technical, like, he should have been the shittiest villain in Civil War, but somehow he sort of made it work.
Yeah. He felt kind of forced, but his reasoning was understandable. He was trying to break, kind of.
The third major compilation Marvel movie, and he was just like a Sokovian Spec Ops guy. Like, they went from like fucking Ultron to him. Like, just Sokovian Spec Ops guy.
A guy with really good use of Googling and reading leaked documents. That's basically what it boiled down to. Okay, so we have a quick ad read. Who here in the crowd is a big fan of Stitch Fix?
Trill Ballin!
Wow, this crowd's going crazy.
We'll be right back after a quick ad read from our sponsor, Stitch Fix.
Are you tired of being shackled down by having to shop at brick-and-mortar clothing stores? Well then, Stitch Fix is the solution for you. Stitch Fix is an online personal styling service that finds and delivers clothes, shoes, accessories, and more to fit your body, budget, and lifestyle. Just go to stitchfix.com/lights and tell them your sizes, what styles you like, and how much you want to spend on each item. You'll be paired with your very own personal stylist who will handpick 5 items to send right to your door. Then you try them on, pay only for what you love, and return the rest. Shipping, exchanges, and returns are always free. There's no subscription required. You can sign up to receive scheduled shipments or get your fix whenever you want. Stitch Fix's styling fee is only $20, which is applied towards anything you keep from your shipment. Get started now at stitchfix.com/lights, and you'll get an extra 25% off when you keep all 5 items in your box. At stitchfix.com/lights to get started today.
This is former Atlanta Hawk Vince Carter, and you're listening to Lights, Camera, Barstool, live from Super Bowl 53 in Atlanta.
All right, and thank you to Hawks legend Vince Carter for bringing us back there from that commercial break. Really cool that Vince was able to help us out here, right, guys?
Absolutely.
Big time legend. We love you, man.
Yeah, the dunk man. This is a big win for this podcast, especially Ken Jack. Apparently, the Shazam suit that Zachary Levi wears in Shazam, it's in fact padded. It is a padded suit. There is padding in it. It was revealed after much speculation and shirtless photos. I'll read you the quote here. It says, well, the only all-natural person ever in history was Christopher Reeve. So there's your answer, okay? The answer to was it padded. Now, maybe Dwayne Johnson would be. I'm not sure. I don't care who it is right now. Everyone has some sort of underlayer. But Zach got in incredible shape, so we were very thankful that he was able to do that. And his form has really helped so much and really showing our Shazam the way he should be. I think Zach has worked really hard. I don't know if you've seen the photos. and then in parentheses laughs, but he's done a really great job. So I just wanted to make sure you know that. great. But guess what? It's fucking padded. From the costume designer herself, Leo Butler, said it. What a win. After the fight between Zach Levi and the internet about the fake muscles and all the shirtless photos. And he was a ripped man, a real yoked out man, but you couldn't slip those fake muscles past us.
Those delts. I'm going to send you this picture. Like, I wasn't buying this just because of the delts. They're superhuman.
It's fine. Like, I don't know why it was such an offensive thing to be like, oh, I'm really jacked. Like, yeah, we get that. But I mean, you're supposed to look a little, you're a superhero. You're supposed to look superhuman. Like, you're not of the human race. You're of a different human race. Like, it's okay that your muscles look a little fake, Zach Levi.
The muscles are all completely real. The padding was just in his penis. Because there's just a lot of struggle in there. Everett's well known in canon that Shazam is packing a tremendous hog. So they had to make sure that that was right. Mm.
That's right. I forgot you do read the Shazam comics. And they
Big Shazam. Read. Yes, Big Shazam comics guy.
Mr. Captain Marvel, as he's called originally.
Doctors hate him.
Science can't explain it.
So yeah, that's big news from the world of Shazam. Speaking of comic book movie news, actually, here's a bit of news. Let's see. Funko Pop movie in the work. There is a Funko Pop movie in the works.
This is for you guys. You guys could go off on this.
Why?
Yeah, I mean, that's all that needs to be said. And at Daniel RPK, a good source of comic book news on Twitter, said, this looks like this could be the first Marvel DC crossover on the big screen. Just where we wanted it, in the bobblehead movie. I mean, this should not be surprising whatsoever, though. Ken Jack's holding a Funko Pop. I'm surrounded by, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17.
I'm going to take a screen cap of this, but think of this face you're looking at right now in my webcam. And I showed you my dick. Please answer me.
I have 38. Oh, 39 surrounding me right now. Trill, you own what? 4 or 5?
Yeah. Regrettable purchases.
So they are popular,
they're kind of cool. I like them.
Yeah, they're neat.
It just takes me back to that Reddit thread about the guy and his wife and their Funko Pop budget. Agreed on. Well, this movie is actually going to be a courtroom drama about a couple getting divorced and then dividing their Funko Pop assets in court.
What if it is like the Lego movie where it pulls out and it's a real life human being and it's really an older gentleman playing with them and his wife yelling at them?
It's just a guy standing at Spencer's Gifts, just looking at other Funko Pop collection.
People used to say, you know, you never made it till you're on a chewing gum card, like back in the 50s. You're not a celebrity unless you have a Funko Pop at this point, I feel like. Like, you're not a famous person unless you're made into a Funko Pop.
My one I just showed you, this is my Logan Paul Funko Pop, actually. It wasn't Captain America.
The universe will collapse into itself when Gary V buys a Funko Pop of himself at a garage sale.
Oh, hell yeah.
He have a Funko Pop? He has to. He has to. Oh, of course he does.
He has a Funko Pop?
Yeah, he does. There's a Gary V Funko Pop.
Hell yeah, dude. Good for Gary V.
Actually, Robbie Fox's aunt made him a custom Funko Pop. She's like a crazy good artist. That's like for a Star Wars or like comic book fan, that's like one of the coolest fucking toys possible. Then one of the versions, it has like Conor McGregor stuff on. It's pretty neat. Pretty cool gift. All right, where was I before that great breaking news?
What's the most cursed Funko Pop you can think of?
Most cursed?
Yeah, mine would be Pickle Rick. I'm just saying, like, a combination of something inherently very nerdy or played out with a Funko Pop form.
Chewbacca Mom Funko Pop.
Oh, ooh, God.
There's a Chewbacca Mom toy. Don't joke around about that.
Does she have a Funko?
Have you seen the Chewbacca Mom toy?
Yes. Yes. Oh, God. I forgot about that.
The Chewbacca Mom toy, Hasbro made one. It's, I sent it to the group. It's one of the worst toys of all time.
Can you imagine buying that?
There's a picture of her with the Chewbacca Mom toy, and I'm going to say it's one of the worst pictures ever put on the internet. Oh, horrifying.
I hate her so much. Like, looking at her face, you know she's so rude to waitstaff and, like, managing employees. Like, she's so mean to everybody in her life.
Do they have blacklist Funko Pops?
Oh, my God. Ooh, there's definitely a Red Reddington Funko Pop.
Wait. Blacklist Funko. This whole show has been us just Googling Funko Pops. Oh, baby. Oh, yeah. There are blacklist Funko Pops. Oh, my God.
Hell, yeah.
I just said it. Oh, he's
red.
Got that.
Red
got
with trench coat. On. Red without trench coat.
He's got the trench coat, the hat. There's a Lizzie Funko Pop.
Yes. Where's Tom?
I'm looking for the Toys R Us release exclusive Red Reddington with fedora and trench coat Funko Pop holding the actual physical blacklist.
There is no Tom Keen Funko Pop, but somebody created a fake custom Tom Keen Funko Pop, and you can buy it on eBay.
Is there a Rizzoli and Isles Funko Pop?
Yes.
Let's see. Rizzoli and Isles Funko Pop. I'm thinking no. There is. There are, yes, Rizzoli and Isles Funko Pops.
That should be a new game show on Big If True. Is like, is there a Funko Pop of these people?
Two more news items.
Oh, my God.
Some 2020 movie news items. I'll read them off quick and then get some quick thoughts on them. Christopher Nolan's next movie coming out summer 2020. No details yet. Ghostbusters 3 locked in for 2020. Trying to cast somebody. There was a young female actress, I believe, early teens they were looking for. I forget what the story was, but I didn't recognize the actress. I'm sure the reaction to that will be fantastic. And then John Cena will be starring in a Netflix comedy from Jason Bateman. And last but not least, Matt Smith added to Morbius, the Spider-Man vampire movie. Not a vampire Spider-Man, but the one starring Jared Leto. That is locked in for 2020 as well. Thoughts on those? Mostly for me, Christopher Nolan. That's the one that excites me the most.
Matt Smith is a guy on Downton Abbey, right?
He's in – is it Doctor Who?
He's definitely Doctor Who. Was he in Downton Abbey?
Yes, I think so. He's also going to be in the new Star Wars. And he was also in The Crown.
He could have been in Downton Abbey.
Every British person's in Downton Abbey. That's just a fact.
He's a very Downton Abbey looking dude.
Yes. But the Christopher Nolan one's the one that excites me the most here.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's going to be about. I kind of hope he goes back to like an Inception style thing. Little twist, little kind of throw you for a loop type thing. Though granted, Dunkirk had as much of a twist you could have for like a real life based event with how the stories all wove together.
Cobb, you have to wake up. Oh, no, he has AirPods in. He can't hear us.
I kind of want him to go back in time, like a period piece again.
Okay.
But with more of a sci-fi tilt, just like my favorite movie, the Magician movie that I love, but I can't remember the name of.
So something like Shazam? We were just talking about how much padding was in it. You said you wanted a period piece.
That's just...
Now we're back in. We are back, folks.
No, folks. And our sponsor today is...
Maxim.
Kotex.
The people in Atlanta love that one, folks.
Hey.
Crowd is going crazy.
They're still here.
For Ken Jack's joke and my great follow-up.
All right. Morbius. Trill, you still excited for Morbius? I know you really like Morbius. You're still in the vampires.
Oh, yeah. Like, what I want out of a superhero movie is a tertiary character spun off of a mainline franchise. I love that shit.
Last thing. This is an Oscars-related news item. Very controversial in the award world. There are only going to be two songs performed at the Oscars. One is Shallow from A Star Is Born, obviously, which there's a great clip of Bradley Cooper singing it live for the first time ever with Lady Gaga in Las Vegas from Saturday night. And then All the Stars from Black Panther will be performed, which means Emily Blunt will not be performing her song from Mary Poppins Returns, which is a bit surprising because she's a name. That's a bit of a draw. It's surprising they would not let her perform. I could see her performing. I could see them changing their mind on that. Lin-Manuel Miranda was not happy. He tweeted about it, talked about it, said that it was, you know, that's a dream inspiring thing, watching people perform on the Academy Awards when he saw The Little Mermaid, whatever song won for that, I forget. Ballad of Buster Scruggs, that song will not be performed. What's the name? Oh, When a Cowboy Trades His Spurs for Wings. And then what's the last one? Oh, I'll Fight from RBG, the Ruth Bader Ginsburg documentary. I wonder if Denny still has that going on.
I don't think it was well received.
Lin-Manuel Miranda was so mad that he went and did a kickflip on his like half pipe in the backyard on his BMX chimney in his BMX chimney sweep bike.
Best scene from all 2018 movies.
It's disappointing because the musical performances are on the scale of how boring the Oscars are, one of the lesser of the boring things on there.
I wanted to see Emily Blunt perform. I don't care. You know, movie's not great, but let her perform. She's a name. She's a draw.
She was good. Doesn't this basically say to you that we really only have two songs that are up for this award this year?
Yeah, right. Like the other ones don't have a chance. I mean, Shallow's going to win. That's a mortal lock.
Yeah.
Did only two get performed last year? This Is Me and Coco, Remember Me?
Huh. I'm trying to remember.
I forget. I feel like only two got performed.
The, what do you call it? Where I'll Go, when that got performed, that was awesome. That was one of my favorite performances in the Oscars ever.
Oh, How Far I'll Go, but from Alaya Carvalho. Nothing I say her name. It's very hard to pronounce. But yeah, Lin-Manuel Miranda did the fucking Moana rap before it for like 10 seconds. I forgot who won that one. Another shoo-in won that one. The Weeknd also performed for the 50 Shades movie, I believe, that year, which was a riveting performance of people with ball gags behind them.
Should we talk about a Lin-Manuel Miranda becoming a RAR XD guy on Twitter?
Yeah.
Like a Johnny Sum tweeter.
I'm a big LMM fan. I like Hamilton. And I think he's very talented, but he, the tweets that I see from him are what's the nicest way to put this? They're just in that, like, that self-help Twitter type of category that, like, is supposed to make you very warm and fuzzy inside, but I'm so cynical that it just makes me mad instead.
Yeah, there was one today about backing up over life's, like, problems in life. I don't know. I didn't feel very inspired by it.
It was like, oh, Lin-Manuel, my stomach hurts. Manuel. Okay, baby, put the phone on your stomach. You better leave my baby alone or I'm going to come beat you up. Okay, put my baby back on the phone. Like, it was like that meme all over again. It's like, what are you doing, dude? Why are you tweeting like this?
You lost me at that one, I'm going
to
be honest.
I'll send it to you. I thought you were more online than that.
No, I didn't know that meme. Yeah, but this just says, okay, the Shallow thing was really cool from last night. But like I said, I'm very cynical. And I'm like, you know what? They're picking up on the fact that people are kind of forgetting Star Is Born and they got to make some viral waves. And I feel like this is part of a month-long assault on PR to make people remember how great they are in A Star Is Born.
Yeah, they do need to bring that movie back up in the spotlight. It definitely has fallen off. We mentioned it last week. I mean, not that people don't remember it.
No.
But it lost a lot of steam, which is very surprising because that was not a movie I saw losing steam. So my last comment on that, I know, again, Lin-Manuel is very mad, is that I do think Emily Blunt got a bit snubbed by some performances not being nominated this year. I think letting her perform would have been nice. And I still think it's going to happen because the Oscars have succumbed to much backlash in the last year. Everything that people have complained about, they've ended up going back on. So I could see them adding at least her performance.
Best achievement in big money movie cinematography or
best
whatever.
Movie to make lots of money.
Best movie that made us lots of money. No, I like the musical performances. I think it's BS because that narrows down the category for me. That's like if only two of the best actress nominees showed up. I'd be like, okay, kind of know who's winning-ish.
Yeah. I think she should perform too because she did. Like, that was the highlight of the entire movie was how good she was doing Mary Poppins. So she was phenomenal. Her singing voice was incredible. And I think that if they're going to take anything from that movie, which I don't think really deserves anything at the Academy Awards other than maybe like just a nomination for The Place Where the Lost Things Go. But if they're going to take anything from it to the Oscars, I think it should be that performance.
Yeah. All right. That's that for news. Audience, hang tight. We got one more ad read I'm going to read here from LinkedIn. The right hire can make a huge impact on your business. That's why it's so important to find the right person. But guys, where do you find that individual? You can post a job on a job board, hope the right person finds it, no guarantee. Think about it. How often do you hang out on job boards, right? So don't leave finding someone great to chance when you can post your job to a place where people can go every day to make connections, grow in their career, and discover job opportunities. That right there, folks, is LinkedIn. Most LinkedIn members haven't recently visited the top job boards, but 9 out of 10 members are open to new opportunities. So that's the place to go. Hurry to LinkedIn.com/lights and get $50 off your first job post. That's LinkedIn.com/lights to get $50 off your first job post.
I know this is a pot kettle black type situation with me, but your pronunciation of LinkedIn is very bizarre.
What LinkedIn? Is it? I didn't hear it.
LinkedIn. You say LinkedIn. It's like it's.
Yeah. I've always said it like that too.
LinkedIn?
I know it's not like how it's like spelt, but like phonetically, I always just call it LinkedIn.
LinkedIn. Wait, how do you say it?
LinkedIn. And I'd take a pause.
See, I'm saying it obviously differently as you. See, I don't say a pause. But when I say LinkedIn, in my head, I'm saying LinkedIn. Like, that's what
I know, but you're putting a T in there where there is no T.
No, but that's because there's no space between the words and the actual like brand.
Oh, you think like, I'm saying
space?
It sounds like LinkedIn.
He's saying you should say it as if the brand has a space between linked and in, which is not the case.
I'm not saying it's just bizarre to me as someone who makes bizarre pronunciation decisions on a daily basis.
I'm surprised that you think I'm saying LinkedIn when in my head, if anything, I'm saying LinkedIn.
Yeah, that's how I say LinkedIn.
Interesting.
LinkedIn. Are you a Best Buy guy?
What do you mean?
How do you say Best Buy?
Best Buy.
Best Buy.
Best Buy.
Wait, why would that be?
What's the difference? How could you possibly mispronounce that?
Some people say like Best Buy, Best Buy.
Oh, say, Best Buy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
They say Best Buy, and they don't put the T in there. There's no Best Buy. It's Best Buy.
Also, let me know. I was in Best Buy over the weekend or earlier last week. Incredible lack of help. Something that always impresses me when you go in there. When you go in there, people scurry away like the reverse of a magnet, which I know that skill. I worked in retail. If I saw someone coming around the corner, I'd hurry my ass the other way. I don't want to help them out. But Best Buy has an incredible way of making sure nobody is there to help you in any section possible. And they have so many locked doors of products that you need to get to that it's always a hell of a time there. But I did buy some nice stuff for the PC, which I don't have with me right now in Atlanta.
The best, the worst locked product are the things up on the arms, just on the shelf, but then there's a cap on the end of the arm.
Oh, I know.
And
you need to get somebody to unlock it because it's right there. Then you just need somebody to unlock that little cap to pull it off.
Walgreens locks some of them, and Duane Reade locks some of the most absurd products, like 5-Hour Energy deodorant. I'll never quite get that. Like, I understand perfume and cologne, that shit gets expensive, but 5-Hour Energy, what are we locking that up for?
I went to Walmart this morning, and there I went to the nutritional supplement aisle, which actually is quite robust for Walmart because I was looking for some amino energy because I need those BCAA amino acids to get my rip on. They had this camera in the middle of the aisle with a screen in this specific aisle, and every time you walked in the aisle, it would make a ding on the camera to make sure you noticed you're being watched.
Damn,
it was creepy.
Huh. Supplements getting stolen a lot or something?
Probably. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, you had to imagine where they put those cameras or areas where they have the most loss, but I don't know.
Some really high tech, really nice tech on Walmart.
Trill, you used to work in loss prevention, right?
No.
Oh, okay. I wanted to flex with my retail knowledge and say the word loss prevention.
It's such a weird word term to use, right?
Oh, it's it's such a corporate like HR term to say like people are stealing shit from us and we need to stop it.
Remember who was it? Who's that famous kleptomaniac actress? Was it Winona Ryder? Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember
a whole bunch of shit.
Once in college, the person who was the head of loss prevention for whatever, like I think that was Macy's or something. The head of loss prevention that started the lawsuit or something against her came and like talked to a group of my like college students. Not my college students. I'm not a professor. But like they came and talked at my college and like talked to us about how important it is to like know public speaking when you're going to be in like something like that. And I was like, I don't think I'm ever going to be the head of loss prevention and be in this scenario. So
I imagine them introducing her to you guys like, and here we have an American hero, the person who busted Winona Ryder for shoplifting. Yeah. Like, wow. Yes.
Just give her the fucking Presidential Medal of Freedom. Goddamn. A real one.
They get up and he just looks over the class, or she looks at the class and says, "Ladies and gentlemen, we got her.
We got her."
All right, audience questions. What fan base scares you the most? I'll be honest, the Harry Potter fan base, I'm done with them. They're horrifying people to deal with. Our good friends of the Weekly Planet, when I mentioned to James that we'd be talking about this, he did agree that Harry Potter fans do get the most offended out of anybody. So I'm going to have to go with Harry Potter. Though Star Wars fans don't scare me. They're just lame as hell. Harry Potter fans have an emotion and power that is power, not like they don't have power of me like they're the fucking president, but like there's a power behind their anger that is, I think, unmatched.
Yeah. So can this include singers, or is this just like an entertainment franchise?
No, entertainment. So yeah, there you go. You can do singers.
Back in the day, the One Direction fan base was just utterly terrifying.
The Directioners. Yes.
The Directioners. There was a One Direction hashtag that was perpetually trending on Twitter in 2014. It was wild. These days, I don't know. I don't know too much about the Harry Potter fan base. I'm not really afraid of the Star Wars fan base. I just think it's just a bunch of nerds, including myself. Correct. Including myself, yep. By the way. I'm putting myself in there. But I think the musical act and even the Rami Malek fan base terrifies me now.
Oh, my God. That's the weirdest fan base. What a strange fan base. And they are very angry. They do not like people who say that Bohemian Rhapsody was not a good movie.
No. They'll come after you for that.
Also, we pissed off people. Kenjek and I, you looked at it earlier, are the Dark Phoenix fans, the fans of the X-Men franchise.
Oh, yeah.
We posted photos from Dark Phoenix where none of them are smiling. And we tweeted, as many other people did, they're like, what the fuck? No one looks like they're even in... It's not even the fact that they should be smiling. They just look miserable as fuck. And people are like, it's Dark Phoenix. Like, I get that. But every photo on set, every scene from the trailer, like, they just look like miserable fucking people who don't want to be there. Which makes sense because the franchise has not had, for the majority of movies, not had good movies. But anyway, the fans are very not happy we posted those pictures.
Just a big fact. I think if I had to pick one in all of entertainment, it would be Rihanna Navy. I think that they can be the most scary out of all of them. They will, like, I've seen them like go after whatever, like let's say, what is it, Beehive for Beyonce. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like when they get into like those little mini like spats, I've seen like Rihanna Navy people like go dig up shit from their past. Like, oh, you want to call Rihanna dumb? Well, you're adopted. Like, whoa, I didn't realize we were taking it to that level today.
And they're
like,
a Navy.
They will do that. Exactly. They're in branch of the armed services, so you need to respect them so you can't fire back. It's a scary place.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something. You're just yawning.
No, I'm yawning. I'm very tired.
You ate a lot of food here. A lot of
Hawks fries.
pork cracklings.
Speaking of food, somebody asks this every single time I do this call out for questions, so I'm gonna finally have it asked on the pod. Chipotle or Qdoba, or Qdoba, depending on how you want to say it.
Qdoba for me, by far.
Yeah, I think Qdoba is better, but Chipotle is more readily available.
No, Qdoba, I think, has Chipotle always tastes burnt to me. All their meats, their proteins taste overly burnt. And I think some people like that. I think it's okay, but I like the proteins at Qdoba. I like the way they're cooked. I think they have more options there. Not that I would necessarily get anything other than a burrito bowl, but I like to have the option.
Just it comforts you that you know you're going somewhere.
I could get nachos. I could get nachos if I wanted, which I'm sure Chipotle would make for me, but it's not on the menu. At least the last time I've been.
Would you rather see a movie wearing the Stanford Tree mascot uniform, which is a ridiculous mascot uniform? It's barely a tree. Or wearing nothing but a Borat thong onesie. That's tough, which the person notes that you'd have to be sitting on those disgusting seats in that thing.
Mm, I think the Stanford Tree.
Yeah, Stanford Tree pretty easily. As long as you get to sit in the back row, that's fine with me.
Think about how cold movie theaters get.
Hard to see out of them, though. Hard to see out of mascots.
I did all the whole time. I'd be thinking about how much of my skin surface area is touching those vinyl chairs. Somebody's glibbed on before.
Got their glib on it. Yeah, no, easily still Stanford Tree. Like, am I going to get quizzed on this movie for my life after? If not, I can just go without seeing the entire movie.
Yeah, I mean, the tree mascot is pretty ridiculous, but that is disgusting. I mean, for me, I would have to pick the mascot suit because I am grossed out to be... I mean, I could be layered up in sweatpants and a coat and I'm still going to line my seat with napkins because it's so fucking disgusting. So yeah, I don't know what I would do.
I don't think I don't think I could do a thong ever. Just
period?
The feeling of a wedgie is one of my least favorite things in the world. So intentionally wearing something to where I would have a article of clothing touching my butthole perpetually is very unappealing to me.
And like just feeling swamp ass live. Just not a lot something
of,
I want.
A lot of respect to folks who do that. I mean, a lot of respect to folks who do that. Mm. I can't do it. I'm very butthole sensitive.
Yeah, that time for my life has passed.
Somebody said, have you guys considered doing more video content? That's a good question because we got some stuff brewing up. So keep in the loop because if you listen, you're in the loop. But keep your eyes peeled. Could be some YouTube stuff popping up. Also, we've talked about our rankings database for a while. That's something that's very much in the works, but zero timetable on that. So save your time asking. I wish we could release something tomorrow, but we have something much bigger than just a spreadsheet online of our rankings. And then lastly, this coming week, we are reviewing all of the remaining big movies that we haven't touched, or at least the big ones that are going to be Oscar nominated. And we will be releasing our top 10 rankings as well as yours based on the movies you've rated, which you can rate all 2018 movies and new movies in the description. So go in the description of the pod. I thought everyone knew that. Apparently they didn't, which is fair because you'd have to scroll all the way down. But if you go in the description, you can go vote for the movies and rate them what you want to rate them from the year. We will for sure be talking Can You Ever Forgive Me, Green Book, If Beale Street Could Talk, Roma, and The Favorite. And then we might touch on some other, maybe Blindspotting, First Reformed, Paddington 2. That came out technically in 2018 in the United States. Leave No Trace and some others. And then we will be releasing our rankings 10 through 1, which will be fun. And the week after that, we'll be doing our bottom 10. Next up, is Impractical Jokers a good TV show? They want our take on this. I like Impractical Jokers, and I realize a lot of it is really fucking stupid, but I laugh almost every time I watch that show. And I understand, again, it's lowbrow humor.
Yeah, I think you just put it best. Like, I know it probably isn't great. It's just I laugh at it every time. I can't help it. And it's the same formula every time. Like, Joe has no shame, and like he wins almost every single time. Sal almost loses every single time, all the time. I think the regular formula, right, is like Q and Joe almost always win, and then Murray and Sal almost always lose. Yep. But then the fact that they are so shameful makes their punishments that much better. And that's what I like about it. And also the Sal's Today's Big Loser was a great meme about like a month ago.
It's a good show. I like it. I mean, I know it's dumb and I know it could not be for everybody, but I laugh every fucking time. I just do.
I've never really watched it.
Ever?
That's surprising.
No, I've never really watched it. I've probably seen clips of it, but if you show me a clip of it right now, I could probably gather just from the practical jokes that are going on, but I wouldn't be able to pick it out of a lineup if you showed me a still from it.
Really?
No.
Don't you watch the college basketball tournament?
Yeah, but I don't like internalize it. It's just kind of like on when I'm doing stuff.
Okay.
I feel like you're a big True TV guy. I would have very much thought that.
Paint me as a big True. Them and their two shows, Impractical Jokers and then the Carbonaro Effect.
You know what? I'm going to watch some True TV tonight, fellas.
Well, only if it's Impractical Jokers. I think it's on Netflix now.
No, I'm going to watch whatever's on True TV. I'm making that promise and commitment to myself.
Nobody's asking you that.
No, but I feel like I owe it to the podcast to go on and watch some goddamn True TV, my friend.
All right. No one's asking you, but
I'm going to do it.
A couple more things. What are some of the worst type of people at movies? We can expand on this one day, but like off the top of your head, what's the worst one? Lately for the three of us, it's definitely seat stealers. People who just don't read the fucking ticket.
I was at a movie with Marie Kondo the other day. She just kept cleaning everything. Like just stopping the movie to clean everything around me. It stunk.
It's good. I like the way you tied in Marie Kondo to the topic.
I had to get that slip in somewhere.
I think it's, and they're not that disruptive, but the sheer gall of it and the hubris of it pisses me off is when people come into a movie late This is like less current day because of the assigned seating, but more in the past. And they come in, and it's a group of five of them, and they start looking around, like up top, like they're going to find some primo seating 10 minutes into the movie for a group of five people. Like that infuriates me. It's like, what do you think? You think we just parted the sea here, assholes?
I had one guy when I went to see Can You Forgive Me, who he took my seat, right? And then so I was like, okay, where'd you sit? So I'll just take your seat. Like, I don't really care that much because it's an end seat. He's like, oh, actually, like, I don't really know where I sat, but like, it's in the middle somewhere and I'm claustrophobic, so I just want to take your seat. And like, he just said it straight to my face. I was like, that's not an excuse to just take something that someone paid for.
That's bullshit.
But I mean, yeah, it was like this fucking 500-pound guy too. Like, so like, I couldn't just sit next to him. And I was like, okay, like, I will just go sit over here. And then I got kicked out of that seat, and then I got kicked out of the seat I went to, and it was the whole shebang. But I fucked that guy.
And you still like the movie, so that's just a testament to Richard E. Grant.
Yeah. What about the people who comment on the trailers that tell their significant other that they're going to see that? I want to see that. Mm,
the best. Ooh. Oh. Oh, not bad.
Oh,
that's
oh.
good.
Oh, ow.
The tough thing about the people who show up late now is that now that there is assigned seating, people feel like it is justification to show up closer to the movie time because they know where their seat's going to be. But now more and more people are showing up late, and then they're getting in line late for the food, and then they come in late when the movie's already started, and now that's just more fucking annoying. And so, I mean, that's just a joke. And it's the phone lights now, because now people have the phone lights out because they want to find the number on the ground or like the letter for where they're supposed to sit, and they're just fucking flashing it in people's faces. Yeah, the assigned seats have been great, but they've also created some real monsters in the theater, some might say.
What about the hot dog guys?
Hot food people in general, not a fan.
Yeah, and the hot food takes a while too.
I guess pretzel. Yeah, pretzels don't make like a smell, so I feel like that doesn't count.
It's only smells.
That's the worst part.
Hot dog smells bad.
Some of the stuff I just don't get eating dark. Like I get eating at like an Alamo Draft House, but the mini flatbreads that you're eating in the dark. I mean, I spill popcorn all over myself in the theater to begin with. Imagine just like the flatbreads with the cheese and the sauce and shit all over it.
I feel like if you're buying food like that in a movie theater, you don't give a shit about spilling it on yourself anyway.
That's probably true. That is probably true. I did have my movie theater going jacket. I still have it. I wore that jacket to the movies all the time. And I think there's melted snow caps just inside the jacket, just stuck onto the jacket itself. So
I also hate the guy who hides in the garbage can.
the guy in the Ed Hardy's t-shirt that sits in the back of the theater.
Or for me and Ken Jack, the guy who just shits on the floor in our local theater.
Yeah, what the fuck? Or that guy that...
This guy in the garbage can and his fetish is being in a garbage can and having people throw trash on him. So he's like, he's just pointed upwards and his mouth is open. It's like, give me trash.
It's like that whale eating photoplankton thing where it's just him with his mouth wide open just sucking down your disgusting Coke Freestyle mix. Who's the guy that sat next to me in Deadpool that like it was just an old man that just shit his pants like literally like 5 minutes into the movie he actually shit his he had like an adult diaper and he actually just shit himself. And like I was just sitting next to him and every time he moved like it released a new crevice of fat that just like had it had gas trapped in it that would be released and then shot directly into my fucking nostrils like the scene from SpongeBob. So it was brutal. I've had a lot of esoteric references today. I'm sorry.
The worst all time is still the guy who was probably on drugs flipping off everybody in the audience and
oh my god
yelling profane language during Disaster Artist.
Yeah, yep.
Fuck you, bitch, during the trailers flipping off the screen. Yeah, that was comforting. Comforting enough where I moved, and you had to sit there the rest of the movie.
You're right, so. You had the guy with the drill.
The power drill in the lap during Ted 2 was still one of the worst. Or Ted. It was the first Ted. Yeah, that was horrible. I don't know. 2019 Jeff would have moved. 2011 or 12 Jeff just sat there. 2011, I think. Last thing, with the Super Bowl coming up. Do you have one on your mind? We can expand to this maybe on Sunday. I have an idea for Sunday pod we'll get to in a second. But a favorite commercial or ad of all time. People really like the old Geico ads that are running right now. People are big fans of those.
Yeah, they're good. As far as ads go, they're pretty good.
I'm going to say Terry Tate, office linebacker.
That's a pretty good one.
directed by our good friend and interviewee of the podcast, Rawson Thurber.
I do like the old, remember the old Shaq Pack commercials?
Oh yeah.
I was reminded of that. We got that question the other day in Big If True. I forgot about Shaq Pack. I like the Shaq Pack Burger King commercials.
Ooh, the Fave Five ones for T-Mobile with like Charles Barkley and D-Wade.
Ooh, yeah, those were pretty good too. Remember the chocolate phone?
Oh, hell yeah, the OG chocolate?
Those commercials were mesmerizing.
Shit, what else? I'm trying to think of ones that like really stood out to me.
The one go ahead.
Oh, they're going to say Puppy Monkey Baby or whatever that was.
Oh, God. Was Puppy Monkey Baby a Trill Ballins brand at one point during the Super Bowl?
I'm sure it was, dude. I did a lot of stupid shit.
That one sounded like you definitely had that for a little while. The Apple commercial now for the iPhone XR, where it's all the people running in those colored T-shirts.
Mm.
That commercial needs to just go away.
That song is electric, but I've seen it so many times now that I hate it.
Yeah, don't like it.
What's the song?
I don't even know.
Let me get the name. Trill, any that stick out to you over the years as a brand guy?
No, I just like the Sports Illustrated package commercial that happens right after the game.
Where
you can buy the DVD and the T-shirt or whatever it is. Or it's every game since I've been alive. Sports Illustrated still doing the hustle where you can get your collector's edition shit.
Which is essentially just the championship Sports Illustrated cover, but with the hardbound cover.
Everything I liked at the time has now been rendered stupid by my adult brain. But there was one where I think it was like it was either E-Trade. It was definitely like one of those more it's like a financial services type product, but they're herding cats. It's like 2000, 2001. I always thought that was funny.
What are you talking about?
Oh yeah, the cat herding commercial.
Yeah, the cat herding.
Yeah. Was it Budweiser? Yeah,
that was before like corporate America ruined my brain, and I discovered that like this is like herding cats was actually shit people say. At the time, I just thought it was absurd, so I liked it.
What company was this for? I need to find
this. It's like T. Rowe Price or
EDS, Electronic Data Centers.
Oh, that's Ross Perot's company that he sold to IBM, I think.
Wow. Cat herders. Okay.
You're not herding. Not herding. No,
that's what I thought you were saying that whole time. Like they were herding. They were hurting cats.
Yeah, like, this is really fucked up.
I will say life became less enjoyable the moment they started showing Super Bowl commercials before the Super Bowl. Like they started teasing them. And like when there was a pure drop and you didn't know what was coming and they didn't, you know, every morning show was like, this is what's going to happen. Or yeah, Jeff Bridges is going to be in a Super Bowl commercial. Like, it was so much more pure when they would just drop during the Super Bowl and you wouldn't have an idea. Much more fun.
The ones I hate the most are, I don't know if they still do it, but the whole Doritos fan-made commercials to crash the Super Bowl. So stupid.
You didn't like those? I thought, no. Some of them were funny back in the day when they first started.
No, because they all revolved around either, you know, a person getting hurt in a comedic way, like getting kicked in the nuts.
It's very true.
A dog outsmarting somebody or a baby outsmarting somebody.
What about
the holy trinity of Doritos commercials?
The sad Budweiser commercials. I kind of like those. Like with the horses and stuff.
Yeah, the puppy. I liked when they were just funny. Actually, no, Budweiser was always Clydesdales, but sometimes they were funny. There's like the zebra. Remember when the zebra referees the Clydesdales football game? That was pretty good.
Yeah. That was a good one. I do kind of like, I just like those ones. And most of the Doritos ones have been, I think, somewhat decent, at least over the last, like, I would say like 10-ish Super Bowls. The Don't Touch My Mama or My Doritos one, that's a heater.
There's the one where he throws the crystal ball through the vending machine. That was one of the first ones they did. Remember
yeah.
that? Yeah, so we'll see. Well, I'm sure we'll critique some Super Bowl commercials. I don't know when we're going to, our Super Bowl pod will probably be recorded on Saturday, so we don't mess with Super Bowl festivities. We are here in Atlanta, so which we haven't mentioned in a while on this pod. I think that's it. I think that's it for this episode. Remember, catch up on those movies, those 2018 banger movies, you might hate them. I don't know. People might not like The Favorite or Green Book or Roma, but they're considered the best because they're nominated for Oscars. And then we're going to be ranking our top 10 movies of 2018. This year, you're not ranking them because you already did. You already rated them. So if you want to get your input on the audience list, go below in the description and vote for 2018 movies. I'm going to update the ratings I have. I do it frequently by hand for you, the audience, because we love you, 90% of you. You're all pretty good people. You know, we'll be nice. We'll say 99%. Anything else before we wrap this up here?
You guys ever get a constipation headache?
Oh, for sure.
I ate 3 fiber bars because I was drunk on Friday night, and that was me the entirety of Saturday.
Did you get the foams?
What's that?
The foams?
The foams? No, I just had farting and shitting my pants all night. That's what I had.
Okay, well, it's come to this, Jeff. This is your podcast. This is what we are now.
So this is what we do. We and shitting here.
I've just had this deep headache from just being, you know, for the whole weekend. I need to resolve it. So I'm going to Uber Eats something spicy or something.
Just the last time Imodium.
The last time we recorded a podcast, by the way, I hadn't eaten in like a couple hours, and I immediately projectile vomited like 15 minutes later, and I got food poisoning. That was awful.
Was it the worst food poisoning you've ever had?
Not even close. Like, violently hurt. Like, my throat hurt from throwing up so much. It was.
Did you go to the hospital?
No, but I shivered the entire night as if I was in a sheet of ice wrapped around my body. And I still had to edit the podcast, too. Oh. That was miserable.
I didn't know that you still had to do that at that point.
But I was already in doing it. And then to save the fucking – because the thing saves like a – because we – the way I like levelate the audio, it saves it as like a 3 gigabyte file. So to send it and all that, I was like, it's just going to be way easier to finish it. Because I almost asked, but then I was too fucking far deep into it. Yeah, that was a bummer. It was a real bummer.
Well, now you got your new PC with 128 gigs of RAM to just load that file through.
And this new webcam, which I'm not using right now.
But it has a remote control, which that's good. For
And to WebMD, what to do when your butt hurts.
Are you going to open up a cam chat site, Jeff?
Yeah.
Chatterbait.
All right. Well, the audience only wants one thing right now, guys, and that's a performance from Adam Levine. Adam Levine is back, folks. Thank you, everyone, for coming out here to the Atlanta Hawks Sports Bar and Grill. We'll be hopefully back at the Ivy at Buckhead with the rest of Barstool Sports for our show from the Super Bowl here in Atlanta, which I actually don't think is in Atlanta. I think it's in a suburb, whole drama at work. So, we'll be back there on Thursday for our next live show. Thanks to the audience. We're going to wrap it up here. And after that, Adam Levine with a live performance. So for Hawks Sports Bar and Grill, Hartfield Jackson, Atlanta International Airport, Super Shuttle for not picking us up, Ken Jack and Trill, I'm Jeff Lowe. Take it away.
Have a good week at the box office.
I'm at a payphone trying to call home all of my change I spent on you. Two.